Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I brought my famous friend, Dr. Richard Presser.
Well, I don't know about this famous bit, but good evening, everyone.
Oh, that was infamous. I got it wrong.
Oh, now we're talking. Okay. You are a troublemaker tonight, aren't you?
Oh, I like being a troublemaker. It suits me.
Indeed it does, and indeed you do. Yes. Yeah. If only people knew, but there you go.
Why, you think I'm a troublemaker?
For sure. Well, they hear that laugh of yours. They'll figure it out one day.
Well, if those who are listening get our email, then you know we have a very interesting show tonight. At least I think it's interesting. You think it's interesting, Richard?
I think it's fascinating. I'm looking forward to learning what we're going to learn, whatever it is.
Anyway, our listeners have sent us a list of beings that they would like to hear from. And when we went down the list, it just struck me that the dolphins would be perfect. And I connected with them, and they are delighted to be here. And we are going to be speaking to the dolphins, finding out about their connection with humanity and the earth. And I think that whole thing is going to be very fascinating. But before we begin that, I just want to tell you a little bit about something that I remembered. And that was from the days in Atlantis. And I wanted to bring this forth because I feel certain that there's a lot of people who listen to this show that were in Atlantis also, and perhaps you remember some scenes from Atlantis. Well, I remember the dolphins coming up to the edge of the shore and people going down to visit them, and of course the dolphins would cavort around somewhat, but they would communicate with people. I also remembered that the place where the people communicated with the dolphins was not a beach. It was along an edge that had the drop-off right into the sea. And I could see the rock underneath the island. It was white. It was a white stone, at least in this place. And over top of that white stone, there was, of course, earth, and then a vegetation on top of that. And I mention this because I remember being in the Bahamas and seeing a place that looked just like that, where there was this white stone along the edge of the waterfront. And maybe some of you out there remember that, because I think as I bring forth these little tidbits about what it was like in Atlantis, perhaps it'll stir up your memories. And memories, to my belief, are important to, shall we say, revisit, because it helps us to remember some of our past attributes, our skills that we had. And so memory along these lines is really a good thing. And so what do you say we just get right into it? Richard, what do you think?
Sounds like a plan.
Indeed. And I can see that our dolphin friend is here. And our dolphin friend has a message, if you're willing to take it for our listeners.
Well, let me see what I can do here. And our dolphin friend has connected with me. This beautiful, gentle energy, playful almost, powerful, not powerful so much as strong, if I can make that distinction. It's a strong energy, but a playful energy, a very clean energy. And let us see what this dolphin wishes to say. I am one that indeed worked with not only you two in Atlantis, but indeed many others who came forth to communicate with the dolphins. there was a great deal of understanding between the dolphins and indeed the whales in that time, a recognition by humanity and by the whales and dolphins that there was a great connection between us. There was an understanding of the spiritual development of the dolphins and whales by humanity in that time that is, for the most part, lacking today. Those that have been drawn to swim with dolphins in this lifetime and have been able to spend sufficient time with them and have some spiritual awareness will have gained some sense of the connection, the energies that the dolphins hold. And in a sense, it is this particular area that I wished to speak to you about primarily, and that is the energies that are held by not only the dolphins but also the whales upon this beautiful planet. There was an agreement made between the, you might say, spiritual leaders who were guiding the development of humanity and who foresaw the necessity of the fall to break the hold, you might say, that the dark had over humanity through this process of the fall and then the ascension process, which is about to be with you. But those who saw this asked the dolphins and the whales if they were willing to hold, you might say, the consciousness that existed before the fall on behalf of humanity through this period of time. And indeed, this has been done. This may sound a little strange to some of you, that even though the density of particles has increased greatly upon the planet, and indeed this impacts all beings, that we have been able to hold this consciousness, in a sense, throughout this period between the fall and the ascension event. And I'm not saying that we held all of the wisdom and understanding that was held by humanity and all of humanity at that time. I'm not saying that. What we hold is what you might call a seed of that consciousness. And as ascension unfolds, this seed will be used to trigger the emergence of the expanded, awakened consciousness of humanity as you pass through that ascension process. And so this is why humanity, in some senses, have felt a connection with us. Many who've seen dolphins and whales in the water are spellbound by the energies that we hold, and many of you will have seen stories of dolphins and whales being freed from the fishing nets and so on which humanity has been using, and these nets have caught one of us. And the response from one of us when we have been released, many people struggle with the acknowledgement that comes forth from us, because humanity in general has adopted this rather arrogant perspective that their intelligence is way beyond any other beings on the planet, and that other beings are incapable of the kind of thinking, the kind of spiritual awareness, indeed, that humanity is capable of. And I will say to you that the dolphins have the ability to communicate with other beings anywhere in creation, an ability that indeed you all have, though you have for the most part forgotten it. and that you will all awaken to with a power and an ability that you will be amazed by as you pass through the ascension process. And so we are aware, we have held that awareness, and we are able to communicate with those of humanity that wish to open this door, as I am doing with you today. And so you might say we have been holding gifts in a way, both for humanity and indeed for the planet, because in a sense this consciousness that we hold is also important for the planet as it passes through these changes. That is not to say that Gaia has been impacted by the fall process, because she has not. She remains in all her awareness. However, there are aspects of the planet that this consciousness will impact greatly. For example, such things as the plants and the minerals and other animals will be impacted by this as the ascension process proceeds. And so I wanted to start our time together by sharing this message with you so that you understand that we are well aware of what is unfolding. We are aware of the history of humanity, and we hold this gift for you. And we are very keen to pass this across to you, because in a sense, as we hold this gift, so we are somewhat bound by this. We are bound to remain as individuals upon this planet, and some of us wish to move on to progress on our own spiritual journeys. And so I wish to share this with you so that you can begin to understand a little more of what has been unfolding upon your planet.
That's beautiful. Thank you. I invite our listeners to call in with their questions, because there might be some areas of ascension that our dolphin friend might be aware of, or the, you might say, path of the dolphins and other animals. And so I'm going to ask our dolphin friend if something that he said about some of the dolphins wish to move on in their spiritual path. And if he could elaborate on that, I would be interested. I think our listeners would be interested also, because my question is, to move along on your spiritual path, does that mean that some of the dolphins will be moving to other planetary realms? And if they are, will they have the same body shape that they have now? Or will they be progressing to another type of physical form? Richard?
Firstly, let me say that there is a distinction between the dolphins and the whales and other forms of animal life on the planet. As you may be aware, other animals have what is known as a group soul, though that too is changing as the ascension process proceeds. The dolphins and whales have held an individual soul throughout their time upon the planet. And so there is this individuality which is part of our experience that is not shared with other animals upon the planet. And we are souls journeying, as you are all souls journeying. There, in essence, is no difference at the highest level, at the monad level, between a dolphin and many of humanity. And so some of us have chosen to come forth in this form to fulfill this mission and to hold this understanding, you might say. And there is no commitment to this body form, we can choose to travel the cosmos just as any of you can choose to travel the cosmos and experience many different bodily forms and many different experiences. As you are, I anticipate, aware, the fundamental instruction to all souls was to go forth and experience, and indeed we have done that. Yes, there are groups that have specific roles and tasks, groups that were created for particular purposes, and there are many of you that are listening to this that this applies to. However, the dolphins, for the most part, come from monads, if you will, that are, you might say, great travelling souls, where we have journeyed in many places, taken many paths, many journeys, many lifetimes in many different areas of the cosmos. And so we simply, as I said, wish to move on and add to our experiences.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And I'm assuming that as you, shall we say, ply the oceans, ply the waters, you probably communicate with other animal forms that live in the water too. Is that correct?
We do have some connection with other forms of life in the sea. However, in terms of communication, the level of communication that we share with our own kind is much greater than we share with other marine species. But there is a level of communication. Just as you can communicate with other animals, so too we are able to do this also.
Thank you. We have a caller on line one, and the name is Sally from Texas. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard. Hope you all are well.
Thanks,
we are. And Sally, do you have a question for our dolphin friend?
I do. And first, let me thank the dolphins for having wonderful times with them. I've had many, many, many fabulous times playing with the dolphins and playing in the waves with them, and they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But in Texas, and of course, all on the Gulf, unfortunately, there was the great oil problem, and I think it is still very much there and very much still happening, and is all underneath. We're just not seeing it. I wonder if the dolphins have anything that they can tell us that possibly Mother Nature knows to do to alleviate this so that the dolphins will be more safe in these waters as well as all the other marine life. Or is there anything that they can advise us to do to help to alleviate the enormous problem that there is for all of the wildlife and all of the dolphins that are down there?
That's a beautiful question, Sally. Richard, did our dolphin friend hear Sally's question?
Yes. The great oil spill that has happened in this area is a tremendous travesty of trust. As you may be aware, it was never intended that humanity drill and use the oil of the planet for the purposes for which they use it. This was never planned, and indeed is not required, given that there are other sources of energy which could be used that did not utilize this approach. And so, looking at this from this broader perspective, it is an extraordinary travesty to see this abuse being conducted by humanity all over the planet. And as you are aware, this oil spill was a particularly devastating one. And there are great amounts of oil which continue to remain in the sea, as you anticipate. However, what I will say to you is that it is being processed in a manner. It is being processed by nature. There are processes at work by which the oil is being consumed, and it is not yet safe for the most part for most wildlife to be present here, although this will continue to improve. What I will say is that as you pass through that ascension process, which is some 2 years into your future, should you walk this path, all of these challenges and difficulties will be left behind. And I will say to you that the changes that are coming forth upon your planet between now and then, from a physical perspective, will create, in a sense, greater disruption of your biosphere and our biosphere than this oil slick. However, in terms of its impact on animal life, it will not be as great because the nature of those changes will not impact animal and marine life in the way that this oil slick does. So, in a sense, you can say that all of this interference, all of this damage as a result of this slick will wash away as the ascension process unfolds, because the new earth will be pristine. The new earth will not carry this damage, this pollution in so many forms that has been placed by humanity's neglect and ignorance. All of this will simply be resolved. And so, in a sense, the words of that great being that came forth as Einstein upon your planet are being borne out, in that he spoke those words, problems cannot be solved on the level of consciousness upon which they were created. And indeed, the true resolution to this oil problem will be through that ascension process. This will simply be swept away. And so it is.
And one follow-up, if there is to be a hurricane, of a major hurricane coming into the Gulf, will that disrupt and stir up the oil more, or will it do more to settle it?
A hurricane is likely to cause further mixing of the layers of oil and water. So in a sense, it may cause further disruption should such hurricanes come through this area.
Well, thank the sweet dolphins and tell them to go away to a nice and prettier water for the moment. We enjoy them. We enjoy them on the Texas coast, so we want to keep them safe. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sally, for the question. I think that was a very interesting question. And Sally did bring forth another aspect of that question. Is there anything that humanity can do now as we are waiting for the ascension process to help clear oil spills on Mother Earth? Because this oil spill in the Gulf is the most recent one, but there's other places on the planet, too, where oil has been spilled. Does our dolphin friend have any thoughts along those lines?
The powers that will begin to emerge for humanity as they experience the preparations for ascension, the powers that will come forth will astound many of humanity. And so your ability to change these, to clear up these oil spills, in fact, will increase dramatically. As I indicated with my previous answer, this major spill here will not be finally resolved, in my view, until the ascension process. However, a great deal of influence will be able to be brought to bear by those who have experienced the karmic clearing, and in particular the rejuvenation command, because of the new consciousness that you will become part of. And so when you are participating in that new consciousness, your ability to influence these things, to bring changes upon the planet, will accelerate greatly. And so I encourage, once this has begun to unfold, that those who participate in this and bring forth that experience for themselves, use the skills and abilities, their intention, to see these changes, these positive changes, be brought forth as rapidly as possible. And this can make a great deal of difference.
Thank you so much for your answer. I'm curious about something that has to do with the whales, and I'm assuming that perhaps you know enough about this that you can give an answer. I'm aware that there are researchers who record the songs of the whales, and I've listened to some of those recordings, and it is so fascinating to hear their songs. And one of the things that the researchers tell us, that these songs change from season to season, and the songs are carried around the planet. And I'm wondering if our dolphin friend has any insight as to the singing of the whales and the fact that they are bringing these, I consider them vibrations, around the planet, what effect that has, and any other thoughts that our dolphin friend can give me with regards to these songs.
These songs, as you know, are songs that are sung by our humpback friends, and indeed they are sung by the male of the species. And these songs are used for several purposes, as we understand it. These songs are used in part for communicating with other males, because even though on one sense they are competing for females, in another there is a camaraderie between them. And so the songs are used to, you might say, communicate with each other. But they also are used, in a sense, as a form of mating call. They are used to let females know that they are present. And so the purposes of these songs are really focused on the communication, if you will, within the humpback whale community. Their focus, their vibration, is not focused on impacting the planet's energy or vibration in any form. It is simply a communication within their species, you might say.
Thank you. Do the dolphins have a similar form of communication with each other, like a song, or do they communicate primarily on a mental level?
We have many forms of communication. We use telepathy, and we also have a range of what you might call oral or verbal communication. We have many forms of sound-based communication that we use between each other. And as you are aware, we also use sound for hunting. And so sound is an important tool in many ways for dolphins. So we use both what you might call telepathy, and indeed those who have swum with us sufficiently and have this kind of ability awakened within them will be aware that we readily communicate telepathically. So we use this between each other, but also, as I said, we have a range of what you might call verbal skills.
That's beautiful. I had a time when I swam with the dolphins, and it was so beautiful when they put their flippers around my neck. It was just so wonderful. I don't know if our dolphin friend has any knowledge of this, but I wanted to direct a question towards the beaching of the whales, if he has any knowledge as far as what causes the whales to beach themselves.
There are many factors behind whales beaching themselves. Firstly, their communication systems are deeply disrupted by the low-frequency noises from ships and indeed some of the low-frequency communication which is used by the military. And these disrupt the navigation systems for some of the whales. And so some of the beaching is because their communication systems have been disrupted. Also, there are groups of whales that have experienced, you might say, a sense of crisis because of the sense they have of the state of the planet. And we have talked about the nature of this consciousness that is being held both by the dolphins and the whales. Not all of the whales participate in this process. However, many of them do have an awareness of the state of the health of the planet. And so, in a sense, there is a despair which impacts some groups of whales, and they simply choose to, you might say, give up their lives because they no longer wish to live in this consciousness. And the third aspect that does impact some whales is that there is a, what you might call, a small insect which can get into the oral system of the whales. It is a pest, you might say, and this creates a great deal of disruption for the whales that suffer this, and so this can also cause them to beach in frustration, trying to, in a sense, escape this inner demon, you might call it, because it is extremely disruptive for them. And so this is a third cause for the reason that whales beach. So it is a complex issue.
Thank you for your answer. I felt such sadness when you spoke about the despair that the whales have because of the, you might say, place where the earth is presently. And I'm sure that the whales and the dolphins feel this also, because what has evolved here is not what was intended. And I can certainly understand why some of you wish to move on upon your journey. And you mentioned something, I believe I have this correct, that Gaia has not suffered because of the events that have occurred upon the surface of this planet and the interior of the planet. Do I have that correct? I was interested in what Gaia is experiencing with the carelessness of humanity upon the surface of the planet.
I said that her consciousness had not been lowered by the fall in Atlantis. And Perhaps my words were unclear. I do not wish to imply that Gaia has not suffered as she has witnessed the abuse of this beautiful planet that is under her protection, you might say. And so she has indeed suffered greatly as she has witnessed this damage, this abuse on so many levels. However, she also has a long-term view and recognizes that what has unfolded will, you might say, be washed away by the changes that are coming forth. And in the scheme of the lifetime of the planet, this period of some 13,000 years where the fall has been in place, and in particular the last 100 years or so where most of this damage has been done, is a relatively short window in the totality of her experience of the planet and what it is about. So she certainly has suffered a great deal of pain in relation to what has been unfolding, but she does have a perspective in which to hold this unfolding.
Thank you. Yeah, we do have a long history on the planet and a relatively short period of time when man was part of life here. So there was this long period where the planet was evolving without humanity. Can you give us any insight or thought as to what the intent of the Creator Gods were in process during that time? Were they becoming, you might say, experimenting with different animal forms, or was this a case of just evolution because we had so many animal forms during that period of time? I'm thinking particularly of the dinosaurs and the size of the animals presently. Can you give us any thoughts about that history?
As you were perhaps suggesting, there was a great deal of experimentation. It is important to recognize the history of this planet because it was intended that this planet be such a jewel in the crown of Prime Creator. So many beings that had experience with creation of many forms and sorts were asked to bring forth the best of what they had created elsewhere and to bring that forth to contribute to what was present on this planet, both from the perspective of plants and animals and minerals. So there was a great deal of, you might say, cooperation in the creation of this planet. And so there has been some experimentation. You will understand that the interaction of plants and animals and insects is a very complex balance. Some of the plants and some insects, for example, have a very close symbiotic relationship. Similarly with some animals and insects and so on. And so there are these interactions, these complex interactions that were part of the design. And I will say to you that there were some experiments, you might say, by beings that were not meant to be participating in this. And so some of the animals, such as the dinosaurs, were not in fact part of the original plan. And so it is part of the reason that they were eliminated. And so There has been, as you say, a mixture of evolution because time has played its part in the changes for some of the animals, but also a great deal of experimentation was undertaken by many, many beings to generate the balance which has or did exist upon your planet. As you will recognize, much of this has been eroded. But I would say to you, do not be concerned by the seeming disappearance of particular species and so on in this time, because they can readily be brought forth once more, just as they were in the past. And many of them will rejoin the new Earth when you too participate in that new format. So yes, a great deal of experimentation went on in the past, and indeed in some forms is continuing even to this time. And you will see some of the plant species and insect species and animal species which in fact have been introduced to this planet by the dark disappear. Things such as poison ivy, for example, and some of the insects which create havoc for other animals and for humanity will not be included in the new Earth.
Thank you for your insight into that. We have another caller. Miss Sue from Atlanta is online too. Miss Sue.
Hi, Carolyn and Richard. How are you?
We're great. What question do you have?
Actually, I have two, if we can fit them in. My first one is that I read somewhere that cetaceans, which I understand is whales and dolphins, and elephants, are the only six-dimensional, or at least six-dimensional level beings on Earth, other than any ascended masters or star seeds or whatever that may be around. Is that so?
Well, let's see what our friend the dolphin has to say. Did he hear that, Richard?
I believe so. There are many things which are speculated by many so-called spiritual individuals in terms of the nature of consciousness. And you might say that every being which exists upon the planet indeed exists in many dimensions. The monad, the totality of the soul of all beings that have ever been created, the monad of all of those beings remains in the center of the cosmos at the, you might say, the highest dimension. And so when a being comes forth to be present upon this planet, they need to abide by the rules of this consciousness. And so every being which is present upon this planet is expressing itself in this third dimensional form, and this impacts the consciousness of the being also. And so it is not accurate to say that any beings, the cetaceans or any expressions of humanity or indeed the elephants, are present in this dimension and yet concurrently an expression of what you might call the sixth dimension. This is not an accurate expression. However, what I would say is that perhaps all beings present on the planet have an expression in some form in most dimensions which exist, because of the fact that all monads have sent forth many aspects of themselves to experience in many dimensions concurrently.
Thank you. Ms. Sue, you had another question?
Yes, I'm wondering if as ascension approaches, will we see an end to the horrible killing of whales and dolphins that occurs in Japan?
That's a good question. Does our friend the dolphin have an answer for that?
It is hard to be certain how some of these elements will unfold. However, I will be assuming that there will be elements that will continue with these processes right up until the time of ascension, because not all of humanity will choose to participate in ascension. And so the, you might say, ignorant behaviors that lead to this slaughter are likely to remain right up until the solstice of December 2012, not so much ascension, because those that are not choosing to participate in ascension will leave the planet at the time of that solstice.
Thank you so much. Well, Sue, there's your answer,
dear.
You're welcome. We're getting close to the end of the show, and I want to find out if our dolphin friend has any other information or messages that he wishes to bring forth at this time.
I do wish to give you all some encouragement. The time that you are currently in is the beginning in earnest, you might say, of the time of preparation for ascension. And you are about to witness many disruptions in your current living experience, you might say. Some of this disruption will be economic in nature, as the controls that have been in place by the few who wish to control humanity for their own purposes, that their controls and their power are ripped away. Further, there will be disruptions, as I said, in your biosphere, because the planet itself needs to undertake some preparation. And so, on a level, there will be a great deal of dislocation and disruption. And I encourage all of you that are walking this path to ascension to understand that you will be protected, that when you have the opportunity to experience these two commands, the karmic clearing and rejuvenation commands that have been given to these two, when they come forth in that workshop format, take the opportunity to experience these for yourselves and position yourself in a place where you are, in a way, beyond all of this disruption. And simply having the intention to participate in ascension will indeed be enough to ensure that you are safe and protected as these changes unfold. And so it is easy to step into fear as these things unfold. Fear for others and fear for your own safety. Trust that all has been planned. Trust the truth that many will choose to leave the planet with these changes. And that choice has been made at the level of that individual's soul. So trust these processes and stay calm and centered and trust that all is well. And so it is.
And so it is. Well, I would like to thank our dolphin friend especially for coming forth with all of this wonderful information. Time goes by so fast. There are so many other questions that we could ask him, but I do appreciate what he has given us. And Richard, I thank you for taking his messages, answering our questions. As usual, you do such a beautiful job.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And before we leave, I wanted to talk a little bit about a book that I wrote, Conversations with Caesar. And it might be hard for those who think of Caesar to understand that he was a cherubim who chose to come to Earth and prepare the planet for the coming of what he called the teacher, which we know of as Yeshua or Jesus Christ. And he was warned before he came that his job would be very difficult. And he did indeed stray from his original plan, which was to help bring in peace and especially trade among all of the nations of the known world that he would come across. And so what he had planned was so different from what had actually occurred. And when I came across Caesar, when I was doing the book, I was already aware that I was his daughter Julia in that life, and that he had murdered, you might say, the love of my life. And he was in what is called the Bardo, a place where he had to contemplate everything that he had done wrong. And it was only through my forgiveness that he would be released. And so that particular book is quite remarkable as his journey through the Bardo, through being released, and in a sense his own ascension, because he then went to the center of the cosmos. The story is helped along with information from his mother, from Augustus Caesar, who came in and took his place, and also from the gentleman who actually assassinated him. So it's quite a remarkable story. And Richard, you can tell the people how they can get that book without cost.
Indeed. Indeed. In fact, Carolyn's book is available both in electronic form and also as a hardback. And we are giving away a copy of the hardback version of that book with the Journey to the Other Side course, which is a 10-week course of material brought forth from some of the ascended masters, such as Mother Mary and Yeshua and so on, and also individuals such as Archangel Michael and Archangel Gabriel, Lord Metatron, Pope John Paul, and indeed the Earth Guardians and so on. So there's an extraordinary array of individuals that have come forth to contribute their piece to the understanding of all of us as we approach this time. And so if you choose to participate in that course, then you will get a free copy of Carolyn's beautiful book. And it's quite some story, as she was saying, perspective that you really won't find anywhere else on who Caesar was and his journey, his perspective of his journey, and indeed the perspective of his journey from others that were associated with him in that life.
Thank you, Richard. We have 2 minutes.
I will just mention where you can register for that course. There is a page on the 2012 Countdown site called I think it's just Journey to Other Side. That wouldn't fit. So it's Journey to Other Side. You will find that page on the 2012 Countdown website.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And we have 1 minute. I don't know if you wish to give your thoughts in this minute as to our guest, the dolphin, and what he brought forth, your impressions or feelings?
I really wasn't sure what to expect, as is often the case with these things, and I must say I found his perspective to be very informed, I guess would be a good way to describe it. I mean, we have all, in some level, tended to underplay, I guess, the role and the power of other beings on this planet. I mean, and it was just beautiful to hear that perspective coming forth and that understanding of their journey, what's been happening on the planet, and the human journey. Quite special.
Yes, I thought so too. And my faithful friends who have been on the line listening to us and calling in, I would like to thank you It has been our pleasure to come forth again and bring spiritual information to help feed your soul. And so until next week, this is Carolyn Evers saying...
And Richard Prescott.
Until the next time.
Bye for now.
Talk to you then.